Oh, good. All right, good, good. Well, there's no bulletins, and that's because we've moved, and I lost a cord. Yeah, a cord. So we'll have to, and I was too lazy to go buy another one, so no bulletin today. But you'll make it fine without it. You'll survive. About 30 years ago, we used to have a lady come to the church. In fact, every year for several years, her name was Rachel Titus. Anybody remember Rachel Titus? Yeah, yeah, great woman of God, amazing. And her husband died, and she wrote this poem. And I was going to bring it, but it's in a box somewhere too. But it's about chivalry, and it's about how a husband should treat his wife, and how her husband always treated her so good. In fact, one thing that he always did, he would say these words, "Wait, don't open that door. I want to open it for you." Now, the reason why I have brought that up is because we're talking about, this is Mother's Day, and we're talking about family, husband and wife and children in the last couple weeks. And it's interesting how in today that chivalry is what has happened. You know, my wife to this day will wait for me to open the door. And because we learned some things when Rachel Titus here, and we made a big deal out of that. And I just want to go back to that for us. Because not too long ago, I saw a husband and wife. They didn't see me. They were at a park. And I don't know if there's a ball game that there was going to have. I don't know what it was. But here's how it looked. The husband had a bag, and he was marching along. 30 feet back, the wife had two kids in a bag and was trying to get them going. And I thought, "You doofus." I think that was a kind thought. "What are you doing? Walk with her. Be with her, help her. Don't treat her that way." And I hope that you treat your wives differently than that. I hope you think of her, because you see, that's part of us growing up. Part of throwing off the selfishness, and we think of each other. Now that's a key thing that God is trying to get us to grow up in. We're in Colossians, and he tells us on how we should treat people. And he gives us three areas, and I'll put it in kind of today's vernacular, but three areas that help us to work those things out. And one is a marriage, another is with the children. So marriage and family and the kids and everybody helps work some of those principles, Christian principles, out in relationship with each other. And then at the workplace, a boss and a worker, on how you just work those things out, the Christian things out in relational things, and how important that is. And of course, husband and wife is like pretty personal relationship. It's like you're really together, and you usually sleep in the same bed. My wife was suggesting maybe because I snore so loud that I ought to find another bedroom. But and then I said, "Okay," and she said, "I'm just kidding, don't leave." Aww. But that personal relationship with a husband and wife, and I tell you, a husband needs to cherish his wife and to treat her and to love her. A wife is to respect her husband. But a husband ought to do things for her. Now don't take this wrong, but the Bible says to treat her as the weaker vessel. Now, that just means that you're stronger than her. And most men are stronger than your wife. Now, there might be one or two here, but we won't go into that. But at any rate, that we treat that wife with a special feeling, and we love her. We make her feel like she's valued. And opening the door is one simple way that you can do that. If you're off running on your own, you're not thinking about her, you're just off doing your thing and not helping her, you're not thinking about her. You're not valuing her in your relationship. And that's what we need to learn to do, is to value our spouse. So in Colossians, in every book that Paul wrote, and Peter as well, they start off with relationship with Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for us. Because it is in that principle what Christ has done for us that he has empowered us. Peter said something like this: since you have experienced Jesus Christ, he has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And then he goes on, he says, now let me give you some godliness. And he says, add to your faith moral excellence, or an energy that you start doing for God. And you add that. You know, you can sit back and live for yourself, but you need to learn to use some energy for God, like on a Sunday morning coming to church. That takes a little bit of energy. I had one person say, man, church is, this is a true story, church, we have church at 10:30. And he said, yeah, our family, our church, it's too early for us. What time do you go to work? He said, well, I said, never mind. I didn't want to go there. And so you add two things to your life. You are to do things. And Paul, in this particular thing, he says, now I want you to put off. He names some things to put off. And then he says, put off, and he names some other things to put off along with that. And then he says, put on. So these are things we're to put on our lives. Now, we've talked about this for 3 or 4 weeks. And it's in Colossians 3, 12 and through 14 in your notes that you would have had. It says, therefore, so listen very closely because you can't read it. You can look it on your Bible. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. Now, this is what he says about you. You are God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. No, he's talking about you. God's chosen, holy, and dearly beloved. Now you might think, or you might say, or you might be down because of what you did last night, and that, no, you don't deserve to be called holy. Well, obviously you don't. I mean, it's obvious to me you don't deserve to be called holy. And neither do I. But that is what God calls us, because when God looks at us, he sees Jesus Christ and the blood that is shed. Not that we don't change, and that's where the power of God comes in our life, when we do change and we put on and we put off the things that we need to. But he starts this, and what he's going to tell us to put on, by says, okay, you're holy. You've already been lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now, because of that, I want you to begin to do some things. Because residing within you, as Peter said, you've experienced God. And he's given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Now he says, I want to add some things. And Paul says, now I want you to put on some things. Some things that we start to do. And the best way to do it and to learn these things and to practice these things so the world might know us as Christians is that we do it with husband and wife. And we do it with our children. And we do wherever we are in the workplace, with a mean boss or a good boss. And he explains the difference in how you treat him. A relationship that you have in Jesus Christ, caring about the other person. You get out of yourself and you care about the other person. So these are some of the things that he says. Clothe yourself. After he calls you a chosen person, you're holy and you're dearly beloved. Clothe yourself with compassion. And then he says, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, those are some of the things that I want to talk about. Plus, he goes on, then he says, and also forgive as the Lord has forgiven you, and put on love. Now, so the best way to work through these things is with each other. Now, if you're a husband and a wife and you don't ever have any squabbles, one of you is not necessary. That's right. Because someone's not doing their part and helping the other one in Jesus Christ. Oh, my wife is so helpful. She tells me when I'm doing things wrong. Oh, I got to tell you, though, it was a crack up. So we're walking along, and my wife says something to me, and I forget what I had done. I showed my ignorance in some way. I don't remember what it is. I forget those things quickly. So I had some type of ignorance that I showed, and she, with arrogance, told me how it was. And it didn't strike me at first that she was putting me down with her arrogance. And we're walking along, and I says, wait a minute. You did to me what I always do to you. And she smiled, yeah, I did. And she felt so good about it. Now, you have to be here a while to get that. Some stories that I've told of my arrogance and how she gives me the what-fors and she lays me low because of my arrogance toward her and knowing computers better than her. At any rate, but there has to be those kind of, and don't get worried because you're fussing with each other. Don't get all worried about that. It's normal and it's good if you don't hit below the belt. And if you do hit below the belt or you say something that's mean or arrogant, that you come back with an apology as, you know, things settle down a little bit and you face your own failure. And it's not that what she said that got you the attitude, it's your attitude. You face your own failures in your relationship. But there has to be that kind of connection with each other to where you're willing to tell the other person and give them the what-fors. That's why I say if you don't fuss in your marriage, someone's not necessary. You need each other because you're going to put on some things. This helps you grow up. It's one of the most intimate relationships in Jesus Christ that you have. And you have church and other, but let's face it. Our relationships on a Sunday morning, it doesn't go real deep. Hi, how you doing? Oh, good. Thank you. How you doing? Fine. God bless you. Good to see you. Oh, I love you. Love you too. God bless. And then you go your way. Wasn't that a great service? Oh, those people are wonderful people. Listen, no one here is that wonderful. All you have to do is get to know them a little bit, and that's true of anywhere that you go. Oh, it's so funny. A girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, they fall in love and they get blinded. It's like, he's perfect. Oh, she's wonderful. And then they get married, and after just a few months, it's like, man, she's different. No, you just got to know her a little deeper. You got to know her in a different way and him in a different way. So he tells us to put these things on. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgiving people and putting on love as well. Now, we're going to look at this with our children. We've looked at it with our wife, and we spent a little time last week talking about children. But let's talk a bit about it. Now, remember, these principles are for all of us, wherever we are. But we're going to learn some things and how to put things into our kids. And so that we can all live that way. So if you don't have any kids, it doesn't matter. You need what I'm telling you. All right. Our children. There's two things I want to talk about with the kids. How to develop their sinful nature. Did a big question come in your head? Because you don't want to do that, right? You don't want to develop their sinful nature and make it gargantuan thing in their life that where it controls them and they live by their evil desires, right? You don't want to do that. But just in case you're weird, I'm going to tell you how to do that. In other words, parents, I'm going to tell you some things that you're doing wrong maybe, and you're developing some bad things in them that really you don't want to do. And you think, you feel almost righteous about some of the things because when you do some of these things, you're making them mind and they do what they're supposed to do and you think it's a good thing when really it's a bad, bad, bad thing. Are you ready? James says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. slow to anger. And when he said that, anger, that word doesn't mean temper. In fact, every place that it talks about a temper, about just blowing up, it's sin. It's wrong. Listen to this in James. My dear brothers, this is James 1, 19 to 21. My dear brothers, take note of this. Take note. Pay attention. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Say it with me. Slow to become angry. Okay. Oh, I like how you do that. Now listen to this. Verse 20. Slow to become angry. Now why is that? Well, he tells us. Listen to this. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. Anger toward a child or toward each other does just the opposite. And let me illustrate that. I mean, or with me, let's look at that. I mean, when someone gets angry and yells at you, what does it do for you? Now, if it's someone that you love and have respect, it might make you feel bad and you might cry if you're a little girl. But for most of us, what it does when we become angry, when someone becomes angry, at least for me, when someone has an attitude toward me, there's something inside of me that happens. It's like, I start getting angry. I call it the flesh. The flesh begins to, and man, when the flesh comes up, it is so hard not to say something. And something that is hurtful, or something that puts that person in place, something that lets that person have it. Now he says, be slow to anger. Be careful. Do you know what Proverbs says? The anger of a parent will fail. The anger of a parent will fail. Now think about this. You think, you yell at your kids, your temper rises up, and they're little, and you scream at them, and, all right, mommy, all right, I'm going to go. And they run to the room and start cleaning their bed. If you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. Get to your room right now. And after the fifth time saying that, they finally go to the room, right? That's how a lot of parents operate. Instead of you tell them one time, and then the second time to make sure they heard you and you get their attention, make sure they heard you, you tell them the second time, and then they go, and if they don't, then you discipline them in some way. But here's a parent. Yells and screams, loses their temper, and the child finally, because they're scared or something, they know somehow, because when this begins to rise up, this emotion and this temper, then you slash out at them at some point and you smack them good on the rear end. I mean, that's usually how people discipline their kids. And let me tell you, that's one of the worst things you can do, because what you're doing is you're developing their sinful nature. You're teaching them how to relate to people. Because remember, the things that we do in a home is supposed to help us grow in the context of these principles. That we're going to learn to be kind to each other. And you want to teach that child to be kind to people. But if you're not kind, and if you show the emotion, and remember what that kid does. I mean, what you do, the emotions, the flesh rises up, and the little kid gets scared maybe. But then something goes wrong when they're 11, 12, and 13. And you try to do the same thing. And the emotions come up, and you let them have it. And then at some point, that child rebels and says, "You don't know what you're talking about. I hate you." Anybody experience that? Don't raise your hand. Because what you've done is you have taught that person the emotions that come up, and then you can say anything and get angry and yell and scream. And then if that continues with a mother or a dad and the children, as the kid grows up, there is this incredible tension. It's ugly. It is so ugly. And nothing good comes out of it. Nothing good. By the time they're 13, the back of their brain is fully developed, the emotional part, and the front of their brain, the frontal lobe, is just beginning to develop on what is good, figuring things out. And so when they're 13, they start figuring things out, but it's not fully developed. And so when they're 13, 11, 12, 13, they start asking questions. They start asking you, "Why did you do that?" They start asking, do we have any little kids in here? Let me look around. Oh, never mind. Okay, I won't tell you what Amber asked at 11 years old at dinner table. But it was a conversational, exciting conversation we had. I don't know how to put that. Anyway, so you begin to build up this anger in the child by your anger, and then you're blown away. You just can't believe that they're yelling at you. And then dad steps in and he yells back, and but the child at this point, he or she's probably really afraid of dad because dad's bigger and stronger and might just throw him out the window. And so he backs off, and this is a thing that happens in a home, and it just gets worse and worse and worse until the story that I told you about that one dad when an older teenager was questioning him, and he says, "If you don't like my way, hit the highway. You can't live here any longer." Well, at 13, 14, they start asking questions. They start questioning some things that you do. And let me tell you, this is a beautiful time. But if you get angry, if you get upset, when a child is 4 years old, they don't know anything. They think they do. Carrie was watching a commercial. And in the commercial, it says, "No one's perfect." Now, she's 4 years old. And she turned to her mom, and she's, "God and dad." When she was 13, she saw things a little differently. Now, she feels that way now that she's, 29. We're not perfect, are we? And they'll start questioning things about you. It's a beautiful time to grow up. And you know what I found in a lot of parents and why they get frustrated with their kids when they start asking them questions? Is your pride kind of kicks in because you don't know what the answer is. "Well, you should do it because I told you to do it." Oh, really? Is that how you operate with your wife and your husband? Is that how you operate with each other? Remember, you've worked those things out. No, you don't operate that. If that's how you operate, "Well, you just do it because I told you to do it." Well, no. No, you don't operate. Well, you need to learn with your kids to develop kindness and gentleness and humility and love, communicating this thing. Take time. If you don't have the answers, the best thing to do is to say, "I don't know. I don't know, I just think you ought to do that." And then tell them, "Well, let me think about it, and I'll give you an answer." Then call your wife and ask her what the answer is, and you can go, or vice versa. Our children were given by God, and we have such responsibility. And remember, they didn't ask to be your child. They didn't say, hey, come on, unless you adopted someone, and they said that. But they didn't ask for you to have them. You just did it because you thought it'd be a good idea. And then after you had a bunch of them, you think, what have I done? Well, you have opportunity. It's one of the greatest opportunities for ministry that you have, your own family. And you lead them to the Lord, and you lead them down the path of righteousness. You help them. But once you become angry and you have a temper, you've lost that battle. And it might seem like you've won the battle because they'll comply, but you've lost the war. They will rebel at some point and go their own way. It doesn't work. Say it doesn't work. Let's say that anger doesn't work. Say that. Anger doesn't work. That's how you breed bad things in your child. And you'll pay a horrible reward for it. I'm just telling you. And you want to work out this Christianity in your life. And that's where you begin, the husband and wife, and with your children. And if you're having problems in a church or you're having problems in a workplace, that's because you're probably having big problems at home. And you need to work through those things and talk about them. And it's okay not to know something. It's okay to say, I don't know. Help me work it through. Was someone whistling up here? What was that? Anyway. So you don't want to develop the spiritual or the fleshly person in your child or each other. You don't want to develop that. But you want to develop the spirit. Now listen to this. Now you've probably read this before, but not in the context that I'm reading it, in child rearing and helping each other. Listen to this. This is found in Galatians. Galatians 3. And the church at Galatia was being swayed about other ideas about Christianity, that you had to live the law, and you couldn't just have faith in Jesus Christ, but you had to do things. Instead of, it should be reversed, Jesus saves you and then you want to do for him. And so this is what it says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? They say, what does that have to do with child rearing? Oh, man, so much. See, every one of us has a spirit. God breathed on us spirit. And you have a spirit, even if you don't know Jesus Christ, spirit, soul, and body, you have a spirit. But God wants to connect and save you, and he gives you his Holy Spirit. He gives you a little portion of the Holy Spirit inside of you that you really want more of God. Well, your child has a spirit, whether they're saved or not. And what you want to do is develop that spirit. Now, rules and regulations do not develop that spirit, and that's what he's saying. It doesn't develop that. It doesn't. You can give your kid all kinds of rules, and this is usually what we do. We give the child all kinds of rules. And then when they break them, we punish them some way. And you know, a lot of parents will spank when they're young. And it's okay to spank. Never do it out of anger. We've already covered that, right? Don't do it. If you're angry, stop. And say, honey, I'll deal with you later. I need to pray right now. And then you do what you need to do. But you never do it out of anger. That just breeds bad stuff, and we've already covered that. But your child has spirit, soul, and body, and your child needs something else to happen. You tell them to do something, and they don't do it, so how do you deal with it? How do you react? Usually what we do is what I call, power up. Where our emotions rise and we get stronger, we throw out of our chest, you know, kind of like the Neanderthal guy, you know. Kind of like, ever watched the monkeys? You know, when you get angry, that's what you're just being like an animal. When you get your temper, that's all you're being. But I've already dealt with that. Come on, let's move on. So you don't want to do that. So what do you do with the child? How do you deal with them? Because, see, their spirit and the law, you might tell the child and give them rules and regulations, and they start pushing against that. So what do you do when they're pushing against that? Now, up to one point, the rules and regulations have worked well, but it doesn't produce what God wants in their life. He wants them to be led by their, if they're not a Christian, by their conscience of right and wrong. And God places that with all of us, a spirit, an awareness of right and wrong. And there's this innate kind of thing of knowing right and wrong if you as a parent know the difference. And so how do you develop that inside of them where their conscience, they go with the conscience instead of with their flesh? Anger produces the flesh. You have to have rules and regulations. When they're little, you have to have some fear. They don't understand anything else. But as they develop, as they get a little older, now something else happens. They begin to question things. They begin maybe to get angry like you do a little bit. So how do you react to that? I'm gonna show you how to react to that and how you deal with it. That's not the time. I got 5 minutes. I can do this in 5 minutes. It's all I need. So here's what old Johnny, or maybe Johnny. I don't get to do anything. You guys, all you do is make me do this, make me do that. I'm not gonna do that anymore. So how do you react? Dad steps in. You know, don't do that. That's dumb. That's just dumb. I'm just telling you that. Don't do it anymore. This is watch my face. Here's my face when the flesh rises up. Don't do that. Because you're telling them something. You're angry at them, you don't like them. But now watch this. Watch this. Body language. It's not this. It's. And you can try this, husband and wife at home. You know, work on this. When your wife gets to the wet fur, just go, oh. Don't. You begin to train that child and you touch their conscience, their spirit. You don't do it by anger. You do it by your own spirit that I call it your spirit falls. It's not the flesh rising up, but your spirit falls. You're hurt by the way he's acting, and you should be. You're inside of you is in a big mess because of the way that son is acting and what he's doing. And so your approach is, your spirit falls, you go, oh, honey, I can't let you do this. And I feel terrible. And you can't even at this point invoke your responsibility to God. Bring God in the picture. Hopefully that's been something you've done all along. And you say, I'm responsible for you. And I, at this point, I don't know what to do. Now, when the flesh rises up, you think you know what to do. You nail them to the tree. You crucify them. And that's not what you do. Once your flesh rises up, you lose the battle. Your spirit falls. And you show it on the outside. You show concern and you show love. And you, not this, but this. Your spirit's falling. You're hurting for them. You love them. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. Let me tell on Amber and Carrie. We came home, Pam and I, and four girls. We left alone there. The oldest was 13, and so you'd think they're old enough, you know, to be left alone. Well, we go in, we come in, and the girls are in the bedroom. Hi, how you doing? Oh, good. Good to see you, Dad. And something in me, and God will give you this, I'm telling you. If you're led by God, your spirit, if your spirit is strong and your conscience is strong, he'll speak to you. He'll give you insight because God wants to help you raise your children. And so we come in and I said, well, and they said, hi, Dad. Hey, is something wrong here? What's going on? Oh, nothing, Dad. Nothing. Oh, everything's fine. And so we go to bed and I tell Pam, I said, I don't feel good about this. I don't know what it is. And we rolled over and went to sleep. That was about 10 o'clock. Went to sleep about 11. At midnight, I wake up. Is it just accident? I'm telling you, God wants to work with you. And I get up at midnight, and I walk in, and I hear some noise in the bedroom. I knock on the door. Yeah, Dad, what's going on? And I open the door. Outside the door were these two boys, window. So what do you do as a dad? What do you do as a dad? Now, I hope you don't go, what are you guys doing here? Where's my 9mm? You better get out of here, you dang kids. You know, I don't know why dads do that. You need to think of people's salvation and being in the Spirit. And so I said, well, what's going on? What is going on? And I said, Amber, you lied to me earlier. You knew this has been planned, hasn't it? And this is what I did. This is what I did. And I played it up so masterfully. I am so disappointed. And I walked away. And I go in the other room. She comes running after me. And I said, man, I've always trusted you. Oh, that was a beautiful. That was so. But my spirit's falling. See, I'm like this. I'm not like this. I've always trusted you. And she started to cry. Dad, I'm so sorry. Give me another chance. I want to prove myself to you. I said, well, honey, trust is something that you don't just trust someone. You have to earn it. Oh, I tell you, I'm brilliant. And, oh, Dad, I'll earn it. I am so sorry. I love you so much, honey. And I'm just, I want to trust you. And so we're going to work on that, aren't we? Yeah, Daddy. Okay, I'm going to call the other parents. Why are you going to call them, Dad? Well, I'm going to tell them what went on, have them come and get the kids. No, Dad. Yeah, their parents will be mad. Now, you listen to me, parents. That's not my responsibility. That's the parents' responsibility if they're going to get mad. And so I call them, they come and get the kids, and good parents, and they took care of the kids. Amber learned a huge lesson. I'm sure that she didn't walk perfectly after that. But a great lesson was learned. It would have never been learned if I had powered up, if I had taken the way of the flesh of the gorilla. All it would have been done, it would have pushed her down, her spirit down, and her flesh would have come up. Now, I'm not done. Does anyone have anything they're doing after church? Be honest with me. Yeah. Well, I do too, so I'm going to quit. Oh, you guys, let's stand. Now, remember why I'm telling you this. Not just so you can have good kids, but so you can teach your kids the principle of God's word. Anger does not produce the righteousness of God. But the Spirit is what we want to go by. And the Spirit of God will help you and lead you. Now you might say, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. I'm blowing up all the time. I know you are. I know you better. Your wife tells me everything. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. But the husbands do. Now, you might be doing that. Well, why don't you apologize to your kids every time you do it and tell them you're wrong. You're wrong in being that way. Let me tell you, that'll go a long ways for them. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about how to teach your kids or your wife or your husband how to forgive. How to forgive. Forgiveness is not just an emotion. And I'm going to teach you on how to help your kids learn to forgive. And hopefully, as I teach you on how to help your children forgive, you'll learn how to forgive. Father, I thank you for every marriage here, every relationship here. I thank you for the reality of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we don't want to just be Christians in name, but we want to be Christians in spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit of Christ. We want to walk according to your word and pleasing you and honoring you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've made provision for our failure. And your mercies are new every morning. And God, I thank you for that. And you're so faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to you. But Lord, we want to learn and we want to grow. And we want to become more like Jesus Christ. So help us and lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.